This is the Wiser Than Yesterday podcast. Your hosts, Sam Harris and Nicholas Farik, digest the most interesting, informative, and topical books, giving you their biggest insights. We expose different perspectives and tools to look at the world to make you wiser than yesterday.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wiser Than Yesterday podcast. My name is Nico. As usual, I'm joined by my good friend and co-host Sam. And let me start off by announcing that there has been an amazing scientific breakthrough. Scientists have discovered a new treatment that makes you live longer. It enhances your memory. It makes you more creative, makes you look more attractive, makes you slimmer, and lowers your food cravings. It protects you from cancer and dementia. It wards off colds and the flu. It lowers your risk of heart attacks and stroke. You'll feel happier, less depressed, and less anxious. And that magic treatment is sleep. So Sam and I have just finished a book, Why We Sleep, written by Matthew Walker, and it explains why humans sleep and why it's so important. So Sam, how did you enjoy the book?
I really enjoyed the book. I was initially a bit skeptical because I've read a few books on sleep and was like, okay, I'm just going to have some more FOMO for like whenever I sleep badly. And I'm just going to be a bit annoyed and like the tips won't be that helpful. And then I just started sleeping way better. I just really prioritized it. And yeah, I just thought you've just done a really good job of highlighting just the fascination of the world of sleep and what's going on in your body and why it's so important, just in a way that I'd never really read before. So yeah, great job. Could have been like more hilarious, but it was very readable and such. So loved it.
Great. Yeah, it was a very good book. And so I found it quite interesting that he tried to tackle the question, like, why we sleep, because I've never really thought about it, but sleep from an evolutionary perspective doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, you're in a passed out state lying somewhere, and you know, you can be killed very easily by someone who wants to do you harm. And yeah, so it from an evolutionary perspective, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But and so apparently what he concludes in the book is that sleep produces complex neurochemical baths that improve our brains in various ways. And so it restocks the armory of our immune system. It helps fight malignancy, prevents infection, and wards off all manner of sicknesses. And so basically, sleep helps our evolutionary fitness. So very shortly, that's why we sleep. And so yeah, it was a really great book. And I've made quite a lot of notes, some very interesting things in there. One thing that I missed, and I can start off with this, is I had hoped for, because he gives a few tips on how to sleep healthily. We can come back to that at the end. But what I missed was some more tricks about, for example, what do you need to think about to sleep? Because like quite often I wake up in the middle of the night having to pee. I go back to bed and my mind starts, you know, going over what I did the day before, what I have to do the day after. And I find it very hard to fall asleep. And sometimes I'm awake for like 2 hours. And so I had hoped for a little bit more tips on, okay, you should try thinking about these kinds of things because these are the ones that, you know, put your body or mind at, you know, the prime state for falling asleep. Did you miss that as well?
Yeah, definitely. I have found my sleep's been way better because I'm prioritizing it, but I don't think it really helped clear my mind as such. I'll find out in a year, really, if this has really changed my sleep radically. But yeah, it didn't really give you those sort of tips on that stuff. The other thing, I guess, that it doesn't give you is that it says why we sleep. I'd say it's more of like the benefits of sleeping and the dangers of not sleeping enough. And it doesn't necessarily answer why your body couldn't somehow do some of these things without sleep. Your body have a better repairing system without it? And it lightly touches on, okay, different animals have different amounts of sleep and this kind of stuff. But it doesn't really sort of go into like, okay, like lobsters that can like live forever, that kind of stuff. And like this essence of aging and these things. So the title, like, a little ambiguous on exactly what it is compared to what you get from it, I felt. But that's a bit nitpicky, I guess.
So let's go into the stuff that we did like and that it did make, like, opens our eyes. So I've written a few things down, like what influences sleep quality And so first of all is, as we all know, coffee, which I find pretty crazy. So I've always tried, well, no, I haven't always done that, but I try to avoid coffee after noon. Actually, I just drink one cup of coffee in the morning. You don't consume any caffeine, right?
Yeah, I have green tea.
Okay.
And yeah, I might have one after lunch if I'm feeling super tired or something, but don't usually.
Yeah. And so he made two points that I found very interesting. So one is that the degrading of coffee takes quite a while. And so it takes 5 to 7 hours, if I'm not mistaken, for the coffee in your body to halve, which means that if you drink, you know, a cup of coffee at noon, by 10 o'clock, in the best case, there's still going to be 25% of the caffeine left in your blood, which I can imagine if you drink a lot of coffee, I mean, it might have some impact on your sleep. And actually, he says that it does. So that's. And then the other point that he made was that coffee actually doesn't really wake you up. It just makes you feel less sleepy. And so if you don't sleep, it impairs a lot of things. You know, it impairs your attention, your reaction speed, and a lot of other stuff. And so by drinking coffee, that impairment is actually still there. You just feel more alert because it blocks some things in your brain that make you feel drowsy, I guess. I don't know exactly what it was.
Yeah, it's in the book, there's a bunch of graphs of the different things that you have. It's like your sleep. Where are my notes? I mean, we can't put the PDF on here, but basically over the day cycle, you have your circadian rhythm. You have like the buildup of melatonin towards as you sleep, but then you have like two main factors of like sleep drive and wake drive that he talks about. And you have like a strong urge to be awake or asleep as those two change. And so that your wake drive builds up as you sleep. And that's the point where you then like wake up. And then through the day, your sleep drive builds up. And then your wake drive goes less and less as the sleep drive is building up. And then that's when you should fall asleep as you're going to bed. It's the biggest gap. And then they come back together. But caffeine basically just sort of blocks the sleep drive a little bit. And it just sort of, it takes up the receptors in your brain that normally get receive the chemicals that have your sleep drive. And so you just don't feel that urge so much. But then like the rest of your body is actually more exhausted and all the reasons that you should be sleeping are still present. And so you are like less performant in all these other areas and stuff. And obviously the actual long-term effects of health are really important that you need to satisfy. Hence, you shouldn't be staying up late with coffee regularly. And I think one nice thing that he sort of talks about is like sleep is the only, like, well, it's like a crazy form of torture not having it. And it's now been banned from the Guinness Book of Records, like the longest time of going without sleep, because of people, so many people died doing it. And anyway, this is probably going off ahead into all the different dangers of not sleeping. And we were talking about just things that affect your sleep. So good tangent already.
No worries. Yeah, it was pretty interesting to like specifically learn about coffee, but also alcohol, for example. So alcohol is one of the most powerful suppressors of REM sleep, or rapid eye movement sleep. Which actually, the REM sleep is what helps you create memories of things that you learned. And so they did like one super interesting experiment there, which is they took three groups of people and they taught them something new. And so the first group, they let them sleep normally, you know, 8 hours of sleep for a whole week. The second group, they on the first night, they gave them some shots of vodka, if I'm not mistaken, to make them slightly tipsy before they went to sleep on that night. And then the remaining six nights, they had normal sleep. And the third group, they, so after the learning, whatever they had to learn, they had two nights of normal sleep. And on the third night, they gave them the same amount of alcohol. And then the rest of the week, they also had normal sleep. And so after a week, they tested the three groups. And they actually found that the first group, the one that didn't drink anything, was actually better at whatever they learned than they had been initially. And the second and the third group both performed significantly worse than the first group, which means that one, like, even if you drink alcohol the same night you learn something, you're actually going to remember it less. And if you drink during the week after, it actually also has an influence on whatever you learned in the days before. And as a university student, I used to drink quite a lot. And looking back, maybe that explains why I don't remember that much from a lot of the classes that I took. Mm. I don't know. It could also be explained by, you know, cramming all the whatever you needed to learn in a few weeks before the exam. But still, I think that's something that's very underappreciated.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I'd given this to my, like, 15-year-old self. Yeah. Because 15 to 20, I did, like, way too much drinking and partying, especially during the week when I was trying to learn things and taking tests and stuff. And yeah, I can really see the benefit of not partying quite so much or drinking mm-hmm. slightly less and getting some more sleep. Because, you know, if you're still kind of young, your body's building and these things. Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'd have like a higher IQ and would have just done much better at everything in general anyway. Mm-hmm. If I'd been drinking a bit less when I was young. Mm-hmm. Whoops. Very true. So the Americans with their 21 drinking age actually nailing it.
Yeah. Good job, guys. Good
Damn
job.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny how like we Europeans are always making fun of them for that. But he's actually right. I think he said in the book that we're right now conducting one of the largest, you know, drug experiments ever performed in human history, which is specifically with alcohol, because alcohol is, you know, if you don't drink alcohol at like a dinner, people tend to look weird, at least where I'm at. Well, actually, they won't judge you, but it's like, is something wrong or whatever? Or
yeah.
So
yeah.
It's very interesting. And so he actually says that if you want to consume alcohol, it's best to do it in the morning. So yeah, now we know. Mimosas for brunch. It's the best way to consume alcohol.
Mm.
So some other things that influence sleep quality is obviously light. So he says that you should try and sleep in a very dark room. And that's something that I also learned. I mean, a lot of people know this, but blue light especially is really bad because it interrupts your circadian rhythm. And maybe we should talk a bit about circadian rhythm a bit. You wanna give it a quick definition, or should I?
Yeah, so your circadian rhythm is basically just, as an animal, you're adapted to live within the 24-hour cycle of the planet. When mm-hmm. it's quite interesting. They did a lot of experiments with people in completely dark rooms with no external light, and humans naturally a bit more closer to like 26 hours, most people. So I've always thought this about myself. So I felt like, I mean, I can always stay up a bit later and wake up a bit later and do that cyclically. Mm-hmm. And certainly changing time zones is so easy going backwards. Going forwards is like, oh my god, I can't. But basically over the day, like I already spoke about like the buildup of sleep pressure and stuff, but you also have things like your body temperature changes. So it's normally sort of about 37, it rises once you wake up to sort of 37.1, 37.2, and then it goes down to like 36.7 just as you're going to sleep. So that's one part of it, your melatonin cycles, and there's just like it's quite low, and then there's a big spike as you're coming up towards as you sleep and through the night. And basically it's just the hormones and stuff that go on that just keep you sort of in the normal cycle of the time period where you are in the world. And that's what kind of messes you up when you do time travel. Well, when you time travel, when you go to other parts of the world in a different time zone, yeah. And you're trying to be like 5 hours behind and something, and then obviously the light is doing different things because mm-hmm. you're supposed to like match what's going on with the sunlight and stuff. And that's what's interesting is like early birds and then like the late night owls kind of things, and like your natural circadian rhythm is affected by daylight, but depending on your genetics, it depends on like when those sort of hormonal responses happen in response to daylight and night. So some people, well, I think it's about a third are like early morning people. Yeah. And then it was like 25-30% were the opposite, like night owls, and then everyone else was sort of in the middle. And yeah, if you've got a job where you're supposed to get up at 7 a.m. every day and you're a night owl, it's probably not very good for you if you're well, always finding it super difficult to get to sleep and then just cutting short your sleep to wake up on time. You should consider a different job. And it also goes quite deep into like college kids and stuff, where actually everyone sort of shifts as an entire demographic. Like as teenagers, you sort of want to you become more night owly. There's various genetic reasons for that. But if your school still requires you to get up at 7 a.m., that actually impacts your grades, it impacts your growth and your health and your actual intelligence. And also makes the planet a more dangerous place to be. I think they looked at school studies of schools and the amount of like car crashes people were in. And like a school that got their kids to go in like an hour and a half later, I think there was like 50% less car accidents. Or something. And you're like, what? And like all these other things that we do around danger and stuff, and actually making sure that people get more sleep could be a huge game changer on that, which I thought was really interesting.
The biggest experiment on that specifically is it's going to happen in a few weeks. It's daylight saving shift, where in spring they remove 1 hour from the day, which in the week after results in like significant, like a very high number of extra car crashes, more people getting sick, more heart attacks, more strokes. And so there it's very clear that just building life around natural circadian rhythms makes a lot of sense. And so, I find it very interesting, to learn about teenagers, that their circadian rhythm is shifted backwards. If I'm older, I guess with my teenage children, I'll have to accept they stay in bed until 10 while I'm happy and awake around 6. But yeah, it's good that I know now, so I'll be more accepting on that.
Backtracking to the blue light.
So blue light basically influences our circadian rhythm. And so if you are watching blue light or have blue light around you late at night, your body's going to think that's actually sunlight and that it's still day. And so that's going to keep away your natural sleepiness. So that's something you should absolutely avoid.
Yeah, so as in the age-old advice of shutting down your laptop, like not watching TV for the last few hours and not having devices that are digital. Mm-hmm. And also just trying to wear like blue light filter glasses or not having blue lights in your house, like LED style and things, help a lot. But working out what works for you.
Yeah, exactly. Good.
So I've got some blue light glasses now that I've definitely started wearing earlier than I was bothering to before, which has helped. And I'm also trying to keep myself more offline. So I was doing all of my journaling on my laptop, but changed that to be paper-based in the evening, so that the last sort of 2 hours of things is, there's nothing, no reason to be on my laptop, which also just helps like brain space and things. Because when I'm journaling on my laptop, I'll think of something that I haven't done whilst I'm journaling, and then I'll probably go and do it. And that might be like a 5 minute something, or it might end up being like a half hour like hole I'll go down. And actually doing it on paper, it's like, okay, no, the computer is shut now. It's just me and my thoughts, and that's it. And cool, like if there's some stuff I need to do that I forgot to do, like that'll just go in my like the bottom corner where I just write my to-dos of stuff, and then I just go and check that the next day. So that's been helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Next to light, there's also temperature. And so as you said, your circadian rhythm also influences your body temperature. And as you prepare for going to sleep, our body temperature actually goes down. And you can use that in your advantage, or actually it's being used at our it's being used against us, because a lot of people like to have their rooms nice and warm, nice and cozy, but it's actually better to have a slightly colder room. I think he says around 18 degrees Celsius, and that's an optimal temperature for sleeping. And so that's also why it's very helpful to take a hot bath, because if you take a hot bath, you're going to feel warm, but actually your blood is going to go to your extremities and your core is going to cool off, and that's going to make you more relaxed and also help you fall asleep faster. And so over the past weeks, it's been extremely cold where I live, and my bedroom is not very well isolated, and it was super cold in our bedroom, and I really loved it. Like, I slept amazing. And I noticed that when it's really hot, it gets really hot in our bedroom, and then I sleep way worse. And so this is very useful, and not a lot of people, I think, know this, but it's a useful trick to cool down before you go to bed.
Yeah.
So to the last point, that also what also influences sleep is having a regular sleep and wake time. And that's something that I try to do these days, and it's very easy that we're still in lockdown. That makes it easier to do this, because you don't have any social commitments they have to go through, you know, parties on Friday or Saturday. And so I personally try to like go to bed around like 10. And I do so on Fridays and Saturdays as well. And it helps me. Like I get very tired around 9:30 and I'm like ready to go to bed at that point. And it makes it so easy to fall asleep, because I used to have very much like a lot of issues falling asleep. And now with my very regular schedule, it's been amazing.
Yeah, that's cool. It's certainly a nice opportunity with the lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when I was in Israel for a few months where I didn't really have anyone to hang out with in the evenings and such, and it was like kind of dark, and I just went to bed at like sort of 9 or 10, and then I'd get up super early, go for like a giant run, and then I'd write for 2 hours before things started at like 10. It was like, it was awesome. I had like a whole like day to myself of doing useful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But since I get to London, I've got things going on. It's like, okay, well, if I'm seeing people, or I'm doing like Toastmasters evening or choir in the evening and stuff, like I don't get back until like 10:30, 11, and maybe I haven't even eaten, these kind of things, and it's just like stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets really hard. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, also if you're going to meet friends for a drink or something, gets even later. Mm-hmm. And all those things, terrible for your sleep, drinking and staying out late. It's mm-hmm. not good. Just not sure how to maintain that, like having an actual life.
You can become one of these guys is like, no, sorry, I have to be in bed by this time, and there's nothing you can do to convince me not to do that. You know, there's some hardcore people out there. But I've come to the point where I prefer to do stuff in the afternoon with friends than in the evening.
Yeah.
Just because I want to sleep, and I sleep so early. I mean, lots of people are still doing shit at 10 and I'm already in bed, you know, so I guess I'm weird. Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's good. I definitely, I think that's more productive as well, in terms of, I don't feel like I get so much done in the hours of 10 till 6 as I do in the hours of 6 till 2. If I get up at 6 and just sort of prioritize work, and like,
true.
That's like, that's true. If I had no calls or anything going on and just worked from when I woke up until 2 o'clock, and then from then, you know, have lunch, go to the gym, take calls in the afternoon or see friends and that kind of stuff, I would be way more productive.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. All right. So one other point that I found very interesting is he makes a lot of advice. It gives a lot of advice also to policymakers. So we already talked about the circadian rhythm of teens. So schools should actually start later. But he also calculated the cost of bad sleep to the economy. And it amounts to 2% of GDP, which means that like making awareness campaigns around sleep isn't that expensive. And so it would easily pay for itself if countries started to, you know, talk about sleep and the importance of sleep to their citizens, and, you know, maybe for schools to start later and all these kind of things.
Yeah, definitely. Like we spoke about like the teen driving example with that one school, but also just in general, like the costs of people that do go driving is huge in terms of the amount of accidents that happen from that. And I think he gives an example of thinking of it in the same way that you think of drinking, like the amount of impaired reactions and the stuff you have. It's, if you haven't slept in 20 hours and you try and drive, it's as bad as like going for 3 pints or something. And
And he actually made the case that it's worse, because if you're drowsy and you make an accident, or if you're drunk and you make an accident, if you're drunk, your reflexes are slower, so you break too late. But if you're drowsy and you fall in this micro sleep, I think he called it.
There's no reaction.
Exactly. There's no, you don't break. So there's actually like the accident that happened because of drowsiness are more than you think, and cause more damage by far.
Yeah. And certainly whether you're working or whatever thing, is still just like impacts your ability to really do anything. And then if it's like an important thing, like you're a surgeon, which is like a huge thing actually in the healthcare industry, or people being overworked and not getting enough sleep, then like you're actually performing as if you're drunk. Like, would you let a guy that's just been in the pub for the last 3 hours do your heart surgery? No. So a guy that's been working for 20 hours straight because of he's like the best heart surgeon, should he be the one to like be giving you surgery? Probably not either, actually.
Yeah.
And obviously there is a limited number of people that can do these things, but it's, more people might be alive.
In general, and he gives a lot of comments about this idea that, you know, sleep is for the weak, and, you know, hardworking, real people, successful people only have to sleep 5 to 6 hours a day, and whatever. And I when he says that it's really bad, and he doesn't believe that, there's actually almost no people that can work efficiently and sustainably on 6 hours of sleep. So yeah, it's kind of agree. I like sleeping enough, and I'm thanks to this book even less ashamed to admit it and tell people sorry. I have to be in bed by then. can't hang out.
Definitely, it's I think he goes a bit more into the stats, because a lot of people think that, oh, maybe I'm one of these people that sort of can survive on low sleep, in the same way that, like, you know, you read about being wheat intolerant, and lots of people think, oh, maybe I'm gluten intolerant and that kind of stuff. It's like, it's almost impossible that you are one of these people that can survive on like 4 hours of sleep. It's like, you're more likely to be struck by lightning statistically than you are to be one of those people. And it's like, it's a super, super rare genetic condition by which you can actually manage to healthily get away without like 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. So yes, probably you're lying to yourself, and you're actually just performing way worse. And there's some nice graphs on like just the amount of injuries and things like that that people have. So from, you're 70% more likely to have an injury if you've only had 6 hours of sleep on average, whereas 60% with 7 hours, and 30% with 8 hours, and then like only 10% likelihood of getting an injury if you've had 9 hours sleep when you go and play sport. So it's just pretty obvious of like how much impaired it is on average. And I think I sent you an example of who's that guy I sent you? Tom Brady, who's an insane human. He's 43 and he's like the most successful NBA player. Did I say successful football player, not NBA.
Yeah, football.
I don't know. I'm not American. Just clearly. So all the Americans that listen will be like, yeah, messing this up. But basically, super long career, like beyond any kind of normal human capabilities. And he sleeps 9 hours a night religiously. And is at 43, still winning awards for like best player and like in championships and stuff. And that's just insane. But could never have happened if he hadn't slept so much, which is, I think, really cool. Although in the entrepreneurial world, we do look to Elon Musk quite often. He has always been like, just work all the bloody time. That's how you get to being successful. And he still talks about the fact that he only sleeps like 6 hours a night. And he is already a freak of nature anyway. So maybe he is actually possibly doing this, or maybe he's just like intelligent enough to get away with it. But I wouldn't recommend trying to be like him on that, because you're much likely to get some of his success by sleeping more, actually, rather than by sleeping less. Yes. So he can be wrong on some things. One thing we haven't spoken about was sleep drugs. He did talk about those a bit, and he doesn't have anything good to say about them. Don't take them, basically. they actually don't fully solve the problem of sleep. Like, you get impaired. All of the benefits of sleep don't happen so much when you're taking those drugs. Basically, is the first thing. And so like the next day you are just groggy and don't feel brilliant anyway. You just...
It's like you didn't sleep, right?
Yeah, it's like you didn't sleep. It's just that your mind was off, so you didn't have to hear yourself being awake.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
As far as the actual benefits of being asleep, you're not getting them, and they are addictive, so it's very hard to get off them and stuff. So use with extreme caution, ideally not at all. He didn't talk that much about like the more like herbal things like chamomile or like sleepy teas or other things that might help.
True.
I would have been interested to know if there is much in that stuff. He didn't speak about melatonin.
So the rundown of melatonin, as I understood it, was useful for jet lag when you're traveling, and that's basically it.
Yeah, pretty much. So that was good. Naps, he also spoke about that, and he was very for them. As long as they don't impact your ability to sleep properly in the evening, then it's another chance to consolidate your memories, recover a bit more. I personally love napping.
Mm-hmm.
If I can, like, nap after lunch for like half an hour or 2 hours, even, it's I just have more energy in the afternoon. The same way that when you wake up in the morning, I don't know, I just feel more focused and like I don't get so distracted by stuff and just perform really well. Mm-hmm. It's the same if also I've had a nap, I get up and I'm like, boom, 100% in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So like my ideal scenario is napping 2 hours every afternoon and then actually just sleeping like one shorter cycle and getting like kind of 6 hours sleep at night, and then
perfect,
definitely killing it.
Yeah, he's indeed in favor of snapping, but he says to avoid it after 3 p.m.
Yeah.
So, found it, very interesting. I'm not a napper. I am always too scared. Like, there's always stuff I want to do other than napping. So that's one thing. And also afraid that it will make me, like, I really don't like lying awake in bed. So I'll do everything to be tired, basically. And if napping, well, it's never going to help you be tired in the evening. So that's why I don't really like to do it. So anyway, that's me. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more details we could go into, but there's only one thing I'd like to finish with, and that's like 12 tips for a healthy sleep, which he had in his appendix. We can quickly go through them. One, stick to a sleep schedule. And there he says that is actually very useful. Instead of setting an alarm to wake, is to set an alarm to go to bed. So that's actually his most important trick and his most important tip that he has. Then second point, exercise is great, but not within 2 to 3 hours before sleep time. Three, avoid caffeine and nicotine. Avoid alcohol. Avoid large meals and beverages. Avoid medicines that influence sleep, if possible. Don't take naps after 3 p.m. Try to relax. Do some relaxing things before bed. So don't try to, like... if I play video games before 8, I think, 8 p.m., I'm going to have trouble sleeping. So I never play after dinner, actually, but I never play after 8 p.m. Otherwise, I'm gonna have a rough time falling asleep. Take a hot bath before bed if you have trouble sleeping. That's gonna cool your core down. Try to keep your room dark, cool, and gadget free. Have sunlight exposure during the day. So that helps your circadian rhythm. If it's not sunny outside, or if you live very north or south and you don't have sunlight, then try to have some fake exposure in the morning. Like there's some devices that fake sunlight. And then avoid lying awake. So if you're up and you can't sleep, just go do something relaxing, get out of your bed. And when you feel sleepy again, then just go back. Those are his 12 sleeping tips.
Cool. Just to add a little bit onto them. So with the alarm, you said like it's important that people set one going to bed, which he really spoke about. But he also spoke about the importance of actually having an alarm to get up so you do get regular. And that's one thing, is actually if people are having sleep issues, is they actually kind of reduce their amount of sleep and make them get up with their alarm anyway, just to start forcing them to be tired, to start going to bed at the right time. And one thing he also spoke about was don't use the snooze button. He highlighted it as very important. So if your snooze goes off, it's quite stressful for your heart and body in general, trying to like pull yourself out of sleep. And so if you just about get back to sleep in 10 minutes that your snooze has like waited for you to go up, and then you sort of stress yourself again with the alarm, you're not actually giving yourself any sleep, but you are adding like a bunch of stress hormones into your body, and you're just making your life worse for yourself. Mm-hmm. So you should just try and get up as soon as your alarm goes off and not use the snooze. Second one was on the relaxing before you go to bed. I was having a conversation with a few people who have been like getting super addicted to Clubhouse, but they're spending all of their evenings on it, but then it's just messing up with their sleep because of they're getting like excited by like talking and being in front of people suddenly. And like when you're spending your evenings sort of trying to perform and do stuff, it's like really not good for you. So certainly limit your amount of doing things that scare you and stuff in the evening. It's quite a good one. It just makes you wonder about like performers and people where like they really are amplified to be working at that point in time.
Yeah.
Just before they go to bed. Must be
quite be healthy.
Yeah. Or you're into cryptocurrencies, but not so much sort of actively trading them. But I know quite a few people that are trying to like trade them and stuff. And it's like the market's always on. And so it's so tempting to go look at stuff in the evening and just like, well, that's not good.
Yep.
So True. Trying to make sure your habits align with what you're trying to achieve is important.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Ratings.
I think a 9.
Whoa. Holy damn.
Because it just really, I think it's going to impact my life. It's something that I think I really will recommend to a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think most people should read this. And it's, I don't feel it's worthy of a 10 somehow, just because it's readable, but it's not like, it could be just like a slightly bit better, like Sapiens, where it's just a bit more humorous at the same time. I don't know how to say it could be better, more digestible, but it's fine.
Yeah, it could be written, I guess, yeah, I agree, yeah.
It's really, really good, but he's not like a holy shit writer, awesome level kind of thing. And otherwise, I would have just liked to have heard a bit more about why sleep is not possible in other formats, and maybe some more tips on like ways you can like get to sleep and sort of things that you can think about to be a better sleeper, besides just like the 12 tips that he gave, which were sort of the stuff that you've heard always everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, for my part, I actually fully agree with everything you said. So I'm also going to give it a 9, and I think it's a great book. And if you think about it, let's say you sleep 8 hours a day, that is literally 1/3 of your life you're going to be sleeping. And so if you can optimize that part of your life, you're already, like if you can do 1% better for 1/3 of your life, that's already like amazing gains there. And so I think it's a really useful book that I would recommend to everyone. And I'm already, like, I see people drinking coffee in the afternoon. I'm already telling them, you know, this is going to be still in your blood by the time you go to sleep. And it's going to impact this type of, like, REM sleep and non-REM sleep. And, I mean, it's not good for you. So, yeah, it's a big book. And I'm going to recommend it to everyone I know.
Definitely. And then certainly, like, it was great going through the business books in the last series for me, running my business, etc. But actually, it's really nice to have read this and think, like, actually, how I perform every day and my health and like my mental health is essential to running a business. Like, this is probably more important than quite a few of those books that we read in the business.
Probably all of them, actually.
Yeah, probably, yes. In terms of actually what I should be reading. So it's really nice to like read in different directions and take those lessons in the ways that they can come. So very happy that we read this.
Yes. Cool. All right. So as the next book, we will be reading the book Breathe by James Nestor, which talks about, as the title says, breathing. So looking forward to that. Thank you very much for listening, and speak to you next time. Cheers. Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like what you heard, feel free to give us a rating and share with your friends. If you'd like to ask us a question or give us a comment, feel free to join us on Reason. Reason is Sam's startup that is building a social podcasting app. It is a place where Sam and I listen to podcasts and share ideas and insights. It'd be great if you would hang out with us there. Thanks again, and speak to you in the next episode. Cheers.